Today on Seculo, Hunter Biden gets a sweetheart deal from his dad's DOJ.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. I have a feeling you might have some phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. So it has been announced in the press, and according to a Tuesday court filing by the U.S. attorney in Delaware, remember that's David Weiss, who was the Trump appointee, who has been investigating Hunter Biden since 2018, so for 5 years. Now we are expected that Hunter will plead guilty to a tax-related misdemeanor, two of those in a plea agreement, no jail time, 2 years of probation. And then he is going to have that gun charge because he was using drugs, and that's illegal. That could carry 10 years in jail and a fine of $250,000. That is being diverted. So that means he will actually, if he completes his probation and the diversion, whatever treatment that requires, he will never actually be charged with that crime. That would be removed from his record. So he is pleading guilty to two tax misdemeanors. Either one of those would only carry about a year in prison. He's already paid back the financial amount to the IRS, so that has already been issued. Now, it's the one glimmer of hope is that the investigation does not conclude. So the U.S. attorney did not say, this is it, I'm done investigating Hunter Biden. He said that the investigation continues. We know this U.S. attorney was provided the 1023 from the FBI, and it could be researching that and that allegation about the $5 million to President Biden when he was vice president and to Hunter Biden from the Burisma, head of Burisma. We've heard about the tapes. We've heard about all these issues. So that still very much could be investigated right now. I think the question is on these charges is, why did they take 5 years? I get the more complicated issues that may have arisen more recently, like with that 1023, whenever the U.S. attorney got that, and that's a more complicated investigation to go through. But, Dad, I think what people are going to be upset about, it does feel like a two-tiered system of justice. He could have gone to jail. Instead, he gets slaps on the wrist.
Well,
one of these charges does carry up to 10 years. It was a felony. The gun charge.
But
if you
look at what they did, he's gotten away with it. Let's be clear.
Yeah, yeah.
He got away with it. And you look at Alan Weisselberg, who was the CFO for the Trump Organization, who never had any criminal exposure in his life. And then the New York DA goes after him, trying to press him to flip against the former president. And what happens there? He ends up in Rikers Island, which is a notorious prison in New York, for failure to pay taxes on a free car and tuition that the former president paid for his grandkids' private school. And he ends up in jail in Rikers Island. Hunter Biden is going to end up with pleading guilty to basically a speeding ticket.
What people are confused there is it felt like a company car. I mean, there's a lot of people listening to this broadcast right now that probably, we know truckers out there, people who drive.
If you pay the tuition to the school, there's no gift tax. You could pay anybody's tuition to a school.
Yeah, because people get.
All the time.
The school can do it too.
Of course.
School gives out tuition breaks.
But this is not, this wasn't that.
So again, two-tiered system of justice. If you're associated with Donald Trump, you end up in prison. With your plea deal, you don't get just a slap on the. You, even when it looks lighter, 3 months in prison, you still got to go to prison at Rikers Island. No, not a pleasant place. Basically, a place where the prisoners run the island. I mean, it's been the subject of a lot of controversy recently in New York because of how poorly run Rikers is and how dangerous it is to be a prisoner at Rikers Island, which is where everyone gets processed through if you're arrested in the city of New York.
But it's even a notorious prison. I mean, it's a horrible prison.
And it's supposed to be a holding prison.
Right.
But it ends up, because of the overcrowding of the prisons there, and it's just very dangerous because there are people like Alan Weisselberg in there with people who got picked up for murder.
Let's take phone calls from people on this.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Do you need any more confirmation? There's two systems of justice in the United States of America, one for Washington, D.C. elites, and one for all of us. I guess we call it conservatives or patriots. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Make sure you share the broadcast if you're watching it with your friend and family. That's 800-684-3110. Durham tomorrow. And I think the only saving grace for him after those years people feeling like there's going to be some justice done for these bad actors who went in and lied to the FBI, went in and lied to Durham and the investigators and made these bogus claims about Donald Trump and dossiers and tried to hide how it was being given out and distributed to the media and how it was being distributed even to law enforcement, which then opens up law enforcement investigations. They're spying on Americans based off of this phony information that they knew was phony right from the start, and they knew it was unverified, salacious, remember all of that. And yet, 5 years later, no convictions and a slap on the wrist to one attorney who, again, altered an email, altered evidence to get someone spied on, and he got a slap on the wrist. The other two cases, people were found not guilty by juries, so it wasn't compelling enough there. It took years, and it got nothing. Here we look at the same thing. 5 years, and this one's still not done. Now, I guess the only hope is it's not done because there's more serious, complicated charges being looked at. But honestly, I'm not going to keep too much faith in these investigations. I think we need to realize
this is what it is.
The justice system is not in a good place right now. It is not a fair system. It does treat Washington elites differently. That's the system we live under now, and it's why we want to elect officials who will get reform done.
Somebody on Rumble wrote, danger, danger, we're officially on a slippery slope. We are down that slippery slope, let me tell you. That's almost an understatement. Here's the problem. You look at the, first of all, you realize the pile-on that's about to happen to Donald Trump. I mean, it really has. He gets indicted in New York on charges that no real lawyer thinks are crimes.
Yep.
The DA case in New York, I think, does end up going to victory for Trump. Then you got the documents issue. Biden has 1,800 documents, some of them in his garage. Nothing happens to him. Mike Pence is under investigation. Nothing happens to him.
Yeah,
Donald Trump gets indicted with a 37-count indictment from Jack Smith. Then you're about probably 6 weeks away from an indictment in Fulton County. And in between now and then, you may see an indictment on January 6th matters.
From Jack
Smith.
Yes.
So what you have, it's a pile on. They are piling on here. They're so concerned that the former president is going to be the nominee, which it clearly looks like he is, that they're doing everything they can to knock him out. I think it's having the opposite effect. The poll numbers certainly indicate that. But, you know, it's a pile on. And put the politics aside, it's not the way the justice system is supposed to work.
It does seem to bring back the politics. At first, it was like they thought that maybe he would still be the nominee, but this would damage him enough to the mainstream voter. Now I think they look at the polls, they say, oh, he's beating us in some of the polls, he's trending higher than ever before, he's kind of getting the numbers of 2016 back again, when in the side of the Republican Party he's at 60%. He's about the same poll numbers as Joe Biden has inside his party right now. And so now I think they're thinking, we got to bury him. We don't want him to be the nominee. So I think something shifted even in their strategy and their misuse of, I think it's illegal use of the law enforcement to target politicians. And you see the difference in treatment is right in front of our eyes today. Did you really expect Hunter Biden to get in real trouble? I don't think anybody did. I think most of our listeners probably didn't think he would ever actually get into real trouble. Then they learned about that Burisma payment, thought, okay, maybe there's something there because it's more serious and that involves the big guy. So that it would be a more serious investigation. Now, David Weiss is not done. He's not stepping down as U.S. attorney. He's not closing out the Hunter Biden investigation. It continues. So maybe this was brought because of statute of limitations. I mean, we don't know all of the thinking here, but I do want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. How frustrated are you by the two-tier system of justice? Did you expect really anything to happen here? 1-800-684-3110. David's calling in New York. On line two. Hey, David.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Great.
Thank you for your work. Appreciate it. I think I know people downtown New York City at places like the Justice Department, and just talking to them about anything can really irritate you in the way they think. Donald Trump has done more than any president this century. You may not like him going on the Twitter 20 hours a day, and some of the other things he says and does, but push come to shove, he runs for president. I'm hoping everybody can ignore that and vote for him because he's going to do more for this country if everybody would just work with him, which we know they don't want to, and I'm talking about the House and the Senate.
Well, you wouldn't have had Ukraine and a war with Russia invading Ukraine. You wouldn't have China going into Taiwan at any moment. I mean, they're making that clear. Yeah. You wouldn't have spy balloons flying over the United States. You wouldn't have Saudi Arabia having to maybe cozy up a little bit to Iran, who they can't stand because they don't trust the United States and all this. So the policies make a difference. But you're seeing the justice system totally weaponized, completely weaponized. Exactly what we were saying when we were representing Trump, Jordan, is exactly what's happening again. They weaponize these entities. You know, everybody's forgetting that John Durham said the whole thing against Trump was a hoax. He said it. Durham said it. Now, the problem is, again, took him 4 years to do it. Took him longer than to investigate Mueller. It took him longer than Mueller.
He got nothing done.
No one
faced real justice.
No.
And we were talking about yesterday, too, the absurdity here. We got regular taxpayers in America. Talk about two-tiered system of justice. They get IRS undercover agents at their house using false names. False pretense to enter the house, then tries to get them to sign documents, gets angry with them when they call their estate attorney, and then angry when the person says, this might be a scammer. I got their license plate number. I'm going to call local police because there's somebody using a fake name around trying to enter people's homes. Then the IRS agent files a complaint against the police department and says, I'm an IRS agent. I can go into anyone's home whenever I want. That's not true. If they don't have a warrant, they can't go into your home.
I want to hear from that. By the way, the individual that was involved in that, I'd be happy to represent them against a civil rights action against the United States.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, they got the letter from the IRS saying you're fine. There's nothing. So there was no reason.
And their famous apologies.
But that agent was trying to get them to sign something.
Has that agent been fired? Has that agent been reprimanded? Has that agent been brought up to HR? Has he been up to the Office of Professional Responsibility? I suspect the answer to all of that is no. That's why you need to sue them when they do this.
Yeah, you got to. Jim Jordan brought this to light. They're going to do their investigation, but there is for that individual out there claims to be made in court that you don't just have to say, okay, thankfully this is done.
You know,
you could fight back here.
Landon on Rumble asked, can you actually charge the son of a president anyways? Wouldn't the president just give him a pardon? So here's what's interesting about that.
Politically,
of course, he can give him a pardon, but you don't really. It's a misdemeanor, so he's not going to lose his right to vote.
Yeah, and so I don't think he would need to.
And then he said, I think they won't put a Secret Service protectee in prison. That part's probably true.
That goes to the bigger issue. I've said before on television, I'm not saying whether President Trump is going to be reelected or not, but I've said I don't think he'll be behind bars.
No, they're not going to be able to put a protectee behind bars. That would be ridiculous.
So, I think they would like to.
But let's play with John Levin. This is a reporter for the New York Post, a political reporter. I mentioned the Alan Weisselberg situation. We knew Alan. I mean, he gets charged with this ridiculous charge and ends up in Rikers Island and ends up being for 5 months. I think he served 114 days or something. Take a listen.
Alan Weisselberg, President Trump's old CFO at the Trump Organization, was sent to Rikers Island, 75-year-old grandfather, for 5 months because he didn't report taxes on a company car and Trump gave free tuition to his kids to go to college and he didn't report that as income. That kind of stuff. And he was sent to Rikers Island, which is a terrible place here in New York City. And I just, the amount of incredible punitive response toward one side, but then the other side always seems to have one, escape after another.
Yeah, I mean, this is a two-tiered system of justice. I want your reaction to this, and how does it impact what you're thinking about in the upcoming election? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I wasn't here yesterday, but I want to mention, Jordan, the case you were talking about with this IRS situation.
Yeah.
What an abusive process for a criminal investigation division agent under false pretenses using a false name entering someone's home without a warrant. The agent using the false name and pretense tells the tax lawyer, I'm an IRS special agent, I can go anywhere I want. False. You still have to have a warrant, which he didn't have. Then the whole thing was bogus. And the IRS's response is, we're sorry, we're closing out the file. That's not good enough. Now, maybe the individual involved has lawyers, but we'd be happy to help them. I was an IRS lawyer. We're the ones who brought the case against the IRS on the Tea Party cases. Don't let the government get away with this. This is absurd behavior. And what's happening now on this situation with Hunter Biden, look, Hunter Biden has a great lawyer. I'm going to say that. He's a friend of mine. He's a great lawyer. His name is Abby Law. I put him in the top criminal defense lawyers in the United States in the top five, and I probably put him as number one in the top five. I mean, he's that good. And he did his client's job. He did the right job. And by the way, he came in late, and was able to get this. And that was with a Democratic, a Republican U.S. attorney in Delaware. Because they don't want to try a case against a guy that beat John Edwards and won the rap for John Edwards. He was found not guilty. Bob Menendez found not guilty. I mean, Abby Lowell is a really good lawyer. But it is a two-tiered system of justice. And if you put it back on the Trump side, the pile-on, folks, on that one hasn't even started yet. It's about to come like an avalanche. Now, I hope the former president's prepared and gets the right lawyers involved, because it's about to be an avalanche.
We come back. Senator James Lankford is joining us, and he's on camera as well. And to talk about, you know, this Saturday is the anniversary of the Dobbs decision and the fight for life, and the reminder about where we are in that fight for life. So you don't want to miss this coming up next. Senator Lankford, then we come back in the second half hour. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Seth Hill, we're joined by a great friend of the American Center for Law and Justice, someone who battles for the citizens of his state in Oklahoma, but for all of us with conservative values, especially when it comes to life. I'm talking, of course, about U.S. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. And Senator Lankford, this Saturday will mark 1 year, and what a year it's been, since the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood. Could you just reflect for a moment on the historic decision and what it means for our country now that we've kind of been living with it for nearly a year?
Well, Jordan, it's great to see you. Great to get a chance to be able to chat again. Let me talk to the most basic thing that it means. About 200,000 children, there's our best estimate, are alive today because of the Dobbs decision. That's 200,000 children that will be in kindergarten in a few years. That's 200,000 children that are smiling at their moms right now and giggling. There's 200,000 children that will be singing silly songs in the days ahead as they head into school. That's an enormous gift to each one of those children, that they're actually alive and they're having the opportunities that all of us have had to be able to have life. What that has also mean is a real division among the nation. A lot of states like mine and other states have stepped in and said, hey, we value every single child. Other states have stepped in and said, we believe some children are disposable, some children are valuable. And so we want to do everything we can to increase the number of abortions. This administration, the Biden administration, has literally done everything within its power to increase the number of abortions in America. So we do see this philosophical divide that's out there between those who believe children are valuable and those that think some children are disposable and some are valuable. We can't decide on it. And so we're going to just keep talking about the value of every single child and what it means to be able to present a culture of life.
Yeah, to me, Senator Lankford, we've been given the opportunity now to finally take this battle to the people directly without Roe versus Wade hanging over our heads. And this idea that we can legislate, we can put forward ballot initiatives. But as we do that, we've learned early on in this process, education is going to be key. There's so much bad info that comes out of the abortion industry. In fact, and a lot of times when people are about to vote on one of these initiatives involving abortion, they're talking about all these scare tactics that have nothing to do with abortion at all to try and scare people away from voting for life. So we know that, in fact, it's obviously we celebrate this victory to overturn Roe versus Wade. A lot of people didn't think they would see it in their lifetime. Now that we have the victory, we have to double down our efforts in the states across the country in the conversations we have and the education that we need to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jordan. So what's happening, the pro-abortion folks are out there saying in state questions, this prevents treatment for miscarriages, this prevents in vitro fertilization, all these scare tactics that are out there, which are just factually not true. Even the comment that if you have a miscarriage in the days ahead, there'll be no doctors to be able to treat you, which again is factually not true. When you actually talk to OBGYNs, they'll tell you that the training for a miscarriage is a standard part of the training, because tragically that also occurs naturally. And so they've got to be able to know how to be able to treat women for miscarriage. There is no state that makes it illegal to be able to get care for a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy, or none of those things are true on it. So they'll continue to be able to throw out false information, try to sway people over. What this debate is really about is, are children valuable? That's really it. That's the whole substance of the debate. We believe children are valuable and they are important. They're not disposable. And so we're going to continue to be able to talk about this. Now, we talk a lot about it being illegal. There's a difference between illegal and unthinkable. a lot of our dialogue around the country and from state to state and in dialogues around dinner tables and conversations at work is really about how to make it unthinkable, how to be able to go back to talking about not just what does the court say or what does a legislature say that represents people's values and opinions, but actually going to each individual family and saying, I believe children are valuable, and communities come alongside moms that are really in scary moments and saying, I don't know if I can actually support this child. The dad is left and I'm vulnerable and all those things that are out there. So it's communities wrapping around people and saying, we're going to walk with you. We're going to help you in every way that we can, because we believe that every child is valuable. And you're just not going to meet a mom that looks in the face of her child and says, I regret having this child. They see that child for who they are and understand, I'm so grateful that they're there.
I want to talk about the moms for a moment here, because I think it's such so important as we have these conversations with folks across the country. Having those conversations with women, with moms is so important. But also this current push to expand access to abortion drugs without oversight of a doctor, something that was unheard of before the Dobbs decision. It kind of came out during the COVID crisis where rules and laws were being put aside when it came to the practice of medicine. But it actually puts people at risk, puts lives at risk. And this is a disregard for not just the life of the child in the womb, but even the life of the mother in this situation, that Planned Parenthood and these organizations are so dedicated to the business of abortion that they don't want to be treated the same as any other medical provider. They want you to be able to take medication that can cause you to actually die if not taken properly, and they want federal protection for that.
Right. Yeah, this is the do-it-yourself abortions that this administration, the FDA, Planned Parenthood are pushing to say in states like mine and many others, where we're not going to allow abortion clinics to be able to take the life of children. They will just say, okay, we'll just mail you abortion pills into your state and you can just take it yourself. And they keep saying it's totally safe. It's been done for a long time. But here's what they've done. Number one, it's never safe for the child 100% of the time. Number two is if you have an ectopic pregnancy and you've not been checked for that, you have this response of actually aborting this child, and it actually can take the life of the mom. You have severe bleeding. We have a very high percentage of individuals that end up in the emergency room on this for bleeding. And what the Biden administration has said is they no longer want reporting for those that took these abortion pills that ended up in the emergency room. Don't even report that it was connected to these pills, because they don't want people to know how many people end up in the emergency room, how dangerous that this really is to be able to take these pills. Also, if you have Rh negative blood, and you've just been mailed these drugs and you don't have any kind of testing to be able to know that, if you have that particular blood type, when you take these abortion pills, it will actually keep you from having a child again in the future as well. It could sterilize you. And so women need to be aware of that. But right now, the Biden administration is saying, don't report it if there's a problem in the emergency room. Don't go to a doctor. You can just have any, quote unquote, medical professional, any individual in the medical industry can actually mail you this drug and then just be able to take this drug at home and assume it's going to be okay.
Senator Lankford, we've also seen the increase in the attacks on pro-life institutions like pro-life pregnancy centers and pro-life activists, and yet only a handful of arrests. I mean, literally, I think there's been two or three, and the vandalism is outweighing the violence against pro-life pregnancy centers is about 70% of the violence post-Dobbs, and yet I think two or three people have been arrested by the FBI. And yet we have seen, again, it's always supposedly the right and the pro-life community that is being targeted by law enforcement. And even though those numbers have flipped around, I mean, it seems like the administration's got a lot more work to do to protect pro-life speech, which we know they despise.
Yeah, they do despise it. And they're actually trying to be able to find ways to be able to limit the speech of individuals that are pro-life. This administration says if you're a parent and you go to a school board meeting, we may investigate you. But if you're some activist that comes in, spray paints, attacks, smashes a pro-life center there, the pregnancy resource center, we're just going to look the other way and pretend that that didn't happen. That is unequal justice under the law. And we need to make sure that individuals are treated fairly and that people are treated with respect and with dignity through the whole process, including those folks that are standing up for the value of children.
Senator Lankford, I so appreciate you spending the time with us today. I want everybody to celebrate, you know, this week in this great victory overturning Roe versus Wade. And remember, as Senator Lankford said, we need to double down our efforts now to educate and talk to our friends, not about this being illegal, but unthinkable. Senator Lankford, a great U.S. senators fighting for all of us across the country, and I appreciate him joining us today on Second Life.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secular. And now your host, Jordan Secular.
All right, welcome back to Secular. It's great to be joined by Senator Lankford. That reminder again this weekend, Saturday marks that 1 year since the official Dobbs decision was released and all of the work that we have to continue to do in the states.
Yeah, I want to say something about our pro-life work because we've got a team of lawyers that are really dedicated to the life cause, and we've got a major case in Baltimore, Maryland, where pro-lifers were attacked, and we are seeking justice. There's an all-points bulletin that's been issued by the Metro Baltimore Police Department to find the individual that did this. We're going to then go after them civilly, aggressively in court. We're already building our case. We're waiting for the individual to be apprehended. Having said that, this is where you come in, folks. We want you to help keep us in the fight. And to keep us in the fight on cases like this, where, as Jordan mentioned, these state challenges, which are complicated and technical, but we've got the expertise, whether it's the Supreme Court or the City Council. We need your help. If you're not supporting the ACLJ, I encourage you to do that today at aclj.org. If you are supporting the ACLJ, thank you. We encourage you to continue supporting our work to help us stay in this fight. Go to aclj.org. I encourage you to do that today, especially those that are you listening to this broadcast or watching us on our social media platforms. It really makes a big difference. Helps keep this broadcast on the air as well as, and this is important, keeping us in these fights all over the country. All right, we're taking your calls on what is an unbelievable situation where Hunter Biden basically is getting off with a parking ticket, misdemeanors, and Donald Trump's CFO went, 120 days in Rikers Island in Manhattan, a notorious prison. And President Trump is facing an avalanche, the former president, an avalanche of legal matters. And it appears that there's a two-tier system of justice. What's your reaction to this? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phone.
Yeah, Deborah called in from Texas online, too. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. As an American conservative, I am fed up with our two-tier injustice system. I feel disenfranchised from my country. And as I watch Facebook comments, I can tell people are throwing in the towel. I want to know where the riots and protests and folks who play the white privilege cards are. Because if this were anyone else, I'm sure that would be happening.
Well, I think, listen, we have to realize this is the problem. How do we know what the fix is. The fix is electoral victories, which, by the way, we can win. It's proven that Republicans can win. This idea that we can't win is wrong. It's inaccurate. We can harvest ballots in states where it's legal to harvest ballots. We can get early votes in states where it's that you can do no issue early voting and absentee voting. And ultimately, you need then reform. We know that needs to be done. And I think, you need bold leaders who are going to be willing to take on Washington. And you need, you need to give them some support in the House and the Senate when you elect a president. So don't have them trying to do everything through the executive branch. They can do a lot, but they're going to need some congressional support because there's going to be some new laws that need to be written to be able to clear out these bad acting bureaucrats to make it easier. Right now, it's almost impossible to fire these people. Even when you do fire them, they end up taking you to court and getting their benefits back, even when they were fired for cause. I mean, so there's got to be changes made to the system. But if we give up hope, that's what the left wants. Then they're going to run rampant. Not only, is it people like Donald Trump who are going to be facing legal jeopardy? It'll be all of us because they will totally weaponize the system against not just high-profile leaders. And I don't think we're at a point of giving up. I get that we cannot put too much hope into these prosecutors. Remember, they are from the DOJ. So you're asking them to go against their own people.
They're not going to do it.
It just doesn't happen.
That's the reason as we represent pro-life pregnancy centers around the country, we've been very resistant and very reluctant to participate with the FBI because the trust level, frankly, is zero. And so when it's zero, your trust, why would you do it? So we're taking your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. A good way for you to stay engaged and help us and continue the fight.
All right, folks, aclj.org. Double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org. aclj.org. Coming up, we also got Rick Rendell coming up later in the broadcast. We'll talk more about what's going on in China. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Before we get to your calls, too, just an update, too. There's an update in President Trump's case, a substantive update in the case on just where the trial is. So we know that the trial date has been set for August 14th. Now, that comes with an asterisk. That means actually 9 days before the first Republican debate in Milwaukee on August 23rd.
Which you may not go to.
Now, it's an asterisk because the pretrial motions are also set to be due by July 24th. Depending on what's in those motions, that August 14th date could be
well. There's going to be a, motion for a clearer statement of facts. So motion is going to be made. There's going to be a motion to dismiss.
Yeah.
There'll be a whole series of motions, motions on some irregularities. On the other hand, the August 14th date, you know, when I initially thought, I thought they were talking about August 14th, 2024. It's 2023. That would be the speedy trial date.
Yeah.
Now, there's this strategy, I'm not saying to do it, which is to tell the Department of Justice, okay, let's go.
These are all typical.
And I'm not sure the Justice Department is ready, but it does not sound like the president has a legal team that's fully in place yet.
These are preliminary dates. Yes. None of this is set in stone. What the judge here is doing is, so if President Trump does elect a speedy trial, that will also depend on what kind of motions are filed. I was going to ask you, because could there be, in this stage of the trial, the substantive motions on... should a former president even be subject to this? Like the constitutional questions that could arise to the Supreme Court? Or is that later on?
Well, the Supreme Court aspect of it would be, because these were acts, they're going to say the obstruction took place after he was president, but the files themselves were files when he was president. Yeah. So there's a whole host of questions.
They were being moved while he was.
What you have to have, though, is a comprehensive, look how we did it. We had a comprehensive legal team. We had our team. We had Jane and Marty Raskin. I mean, really well-known, well-respected criminal defense lawyers. The White House counsel's office was involved. We had unbelievable depth on our team. I mean, so you had a multitude of voices going in on all of this. That does not seem to be the strategy that they're doing right now. Again, we're not doing it, so I can't tell, but that's what it seems like. All right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Let's go back to the phone.
Yeah, Kristen in Maryland, on line 3. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering, because this is something that a lot of people don't know about, what's taking place with Biden, the corruptness, et cetera. And my question is, if he's compromised in any way, what does that mean for the vice president?
Here's the only way you find out, okay? Let's be realistic. You cannot indict a sitting president. So even if these allegations about Burisma and money going to the Biden family and went to the president, you can't indict him for that while he's president. So what happens is you could do an impeachment. He's not going to be convicted. He may be impeached, but at the trial, he's not going to be convicted. There's no allegations made really as to the vice president on any of this. And the only way she can be removed from office also, if there was criminality, which no one has alleged, it's impeachment. It's the political process. So that's not there. Now, they have so lowered the bar to impeachment that nothing's off the table at this point. But I don't think that's healthy for a constitutional republic, quite honestly. That's my view of it. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Matt is calling from Ohio. Hi, Matt.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You guys appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
You know, with the complete imbalance of power,
yep,
and without rehashing everything you guys have been discussing for the last 2 weeks, obviously with Biden and with President Trump, how do we keep our country legally? How do we keep our country from becoming World War II Germany, where they're using our DOJ as a political weapon?
Well, they have weaponized the Department of Justice, not just the IRS, and not just the Department of Justice, the IRS. The IRS was being weaponized back in 2010. Well, how do we handle it? We went to federal court, got a restraining order basically against the Internal Revenue Service. Had them pay damages, had them change all their policies. But there's still bad actors there, even within the IRS. The story that Jordan ran yesterday, that Jordan and Will talked about on air, was significant. It was significant because an IRS agent using false pretenses went into an individual's home and threatened that individual and her lawyer. And they can't get, you shouldn't be able to get away with that. So you file a civil rights action against the IRS. and that agent. And when you file that, by the way, and I think we should do this anyways, we should do a Freedom of Information Act request on that case regardless and find out who authorized this. Why in the world did this agent think they had this authority, and what has been done to the agent? So, Matt, what you have to do is hold the individuals responsible for these actions accountable. That is the key, and that requires us staying in the fight and not giving up. Look, we're pointing out the facts of what's going on here, but do not lose hope. We live in the greatest country in the world with the greatest liberty and freedom in the world, and we just got to defend it. That's what's really at stake here.
Yep. I want to go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Ken in Michigan on line 5. Hey, Ken.
Hi. Hello, and thank you for taking my call. And thank you for all the work you do defending the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Thanks, Ken.
My question has to do with the 14th Amendment. If we have equal protection under the law, why is it we can't maybe take some of these cases and bring them out to the courts as a test or a challenge? If you can get a ruling like you get with Hunter Biden and then a ruling like you got with Trump's CFO, that seems to me like...
Well, you can't. Let me tell you what you can do. I'm sure the lawyers are going to do this. I mean, there's what the issue is called selective prosecution. You know, now the difference in the Biden case and in the Weisselberg case was Weisselberg was in the state court system. But I mean, you're talking about minor infractions and ends up in Rikers Island. And now you got the, you know, not paying $1.5 million worth of taxes on $1.5 million worth of unreported income. And the fine for that. I mean, this is what you have to. The fine for that is two misdemeanors, which is like a traffic ticket. I mean, that's the absurd nature of this. And I think, you know, the lawyers have to bring those kind of motions. Now, for us to, there's not much we can do on that front other than point out the obvious. And the obvious here is that this is absurd. And it is absurd.
Yeah. I mean, again, I will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We also got Rick Rennell coming up in the next segment of the broadcast. We can talk to him about this. We can take your calls while he's on the air with us. We'll also get his opinion on China. And the statement that we, again, with from Tony Blinken, that we don't support an independent Taiwan. We support the one China policy, but we also are arming Taiwan. And so why, instead of having a war between China and Taiwan, why aren't we just brokering the Chinese taking over Taiwan? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And then in the meantime, can we get our production of chips out of Taiwan then?
We better, because if that
it sounds like we're willing to just give them.
Well, this is a foreign policy.
This makes no sense. Why are we sending them all these weapons if we don't think they should be independent?
Well, I think what you have here is a feckless foreign policy, and the end result of that foreign policy is a pretty significant disaster, I think, for the country. But you know, these foreign policy initiatives are the cost of elections going in different directions. So whenever we say elections have consequences, this election's had real consequence. Now I want to focus in on the legal matter again. So you got. I really believe this, folks, and this is where the president needs to get his legal team in order, former president. They're about to have an avalanche. This is an avalanche. It's an indictment out of New York, manageable. An indictment out of the Department of Justice on the obstruction, more problematic just because of the nature of the proceeding. But get good lawyers in there, and I think winnable case, but get to work. Georgia is, you're talking 4 weeks from now? They think the Georgia indictment's going to be out. And then in between that, there may be indictments coming out of January 6th. Because that's a separate grand jury investigating that. So we are looking like Venezuela. That we our political opponents go to jail. But if you're the president's son, Joe Biden's son, you get two misdemeanors, a slap on the wrist, and a diversion on a felony gun count. And, you know, and of course the Department of Justice saying we're not going to comment about it. And this was a U.S. attorney that was appointed by President Trump. But who knows what? I don't know what the pressures were or were not. I just know this. Alan Weisselberg spent months in a real bad prison for taking a free company car and tuition for his grandkids, which I don't know how that wasn't legal, but I don't know the individual facts of that because there's tax provisions of the Internal Revenue Code that allow that. But nevertheless, that's the two-tiered system of justice. But you better be prepared to fight back. And fight back in a big way, because if you don't fight back in a big way, you know what ends up happening? Let me be clear. It doesn't end well. You've got to be prepared. This is battle by combat, is what Rudy Giuliani famously said. Combat not meaning physical violence. It's the clash of the titans in the courtroom. That's what happens. It's not what happens on the streets. It's not what happens in civil rights protests or civil disobedience or First Amendment protests. It's what the clash in the courtroom. Jack Smith is very good at indicting. He's not very good at convicting. I don't want this to be the exception to that rule. So the president needs, the former president needs to really get his act together on this legal team. And I'm saying that as someone that represented him for 4 years. He needs to get his act together on this legal team.
I think if he could do that, then he can then focus on the campaign.
Right.
And not have to worry about that.
How do you think this is playing politically?
It's helping. I mean, considerably.
How does it help in a general election?
He's gone up in the polls, and
what about in a general election?
Again, it might bring people over who are just like, I'm sick and tired of people treating people this way. Like Washington thinks that they can just treat people differently, and the IRS showing up at people's houses, and that's kind of the
play into that.
I think that all that needs to come together to see it, to feel more like 2016 again, to feel like it's fresh and new again, and that we're going to be taking on a system that is not just, and we have to do it now or else it's going to be too late. Be right back with Rick Renell. Folks, welcome back to Secchio. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but you know, Tony Blinken goes to China finally after the Chinese refused to meet with him. I want to underscore one point. They're still refusing to speak, let the military leaders speak to each other. So our Secretary of Defense cannot speak to the Minister of Defense of China, and that was after this meeting. But Tony Blinken sits down. He makes this statement, and it's very confusing to the American people, and I think rightfully so, because it just doesn't make a lot of sense, and to make it so bluntly without an explanation. Let's take a listen.
On Taiwan, I reiterated the longstanding U.S. one-China policy. That policy has not changed. It's guided by the Taiwan Relations Act, the three joint communiques, the six assurances. We do not support Taiwan independence. We remain opposed to any unilateral changes to the status quo by either side. We continue to expect the peaceful resolution of cross-strait differences. We remain committed to meeting our responsibilities under the Taiwan Relations Act, including making sure that Taiwan has the ability to defend itself.
So, I mean, there you go. It's on the one hand, we don't think Taiwan should be independent. On the other hand, we're providing Taiwan with lots of weapons to prevent a Chinese invasion, try to put off a Chinese invasion. So I want to go to Rick Rendell because, Rick, so people hear that, and it is confusing because if we don't believe that Taiwan should be independent, then instead of setting them up to defend themselves from a military invasion, why aren't we just negotiating some kind of deal with China and Taiwan?
Look, first of all, this is a complicated issue, and language is never really going to please both sides. The historical significance is that the United States has always had a one China policy. And when we say one China policy, what we mean is that Taiwan is China's. And so asking someone, is China independent, is really asking someone, are you disagreeing with the idea that we have a one China policy? Whenever you start to get too close to Taiwan, whenever you talk about Taiwanese independence, you really make the Chinese angry. So when you come to negotiations, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it to make these pronouncements? Because if you're going to be negotiating, it's going to create a real difficulty. What's better to do is to look at the Chinese privately, look at them in the eye, and say things like, do not move on Taiwan. You want to have a president that's got a credible threat in order to scare back the Chinese. And I would argue that Donald Trump absolutely has a credible threat. When Trump says something to another country, the other side thinks, you know what, he just may do it. We got to be careful. He just may do it. Now, with Joe Biden, when he says something, I think the other side usually says, he doesn't mean it. Look at Afghanistan.
Whatever is what they think. Yeah, whatever. But, Rick, let me ask you this, because I know people are thinking this at home. So if there's a one China policy the United States have, but we're arming Taiwan, I mean, and then we're saying, so I think it'd be really important for you to explain this, to what is going on here, because we're arming Taiwan while we're saying, well, it's part of mainland China. It sounds like, how could it be both?
Look, you just put your finger on the hypocrisy of the foreign policy community in Washington for the last 100 years. They don't think that it is a problem to say one thing and do another. We also walk a very fine line where many people want to arm Taiwan. They want to support Taiwanese independence. The problem is when you get in as the president, you suddenly freeze up and you can't quite say it. And so thank God we had Donald Trump, who was pretty open and honest about supporting Taiwan. But what you're really referring to, Jay, is the Washington hypocrisy. No one should be surprised that we have Washington hypocrisy.
You know, I think to get back to this too, Rick, I want your reaction as well to Hunter Biden here. With the people see these investigations go on for 5 years, and it ends up with a slap on the wrist. It's not that surprising that with these charges that were being discussed, that would be the case. I guess the only glimmer here is that this U.S. attorney is not closing the investigation to the Bidens. It is ongoing. They did confirm that. And so maybe the more complicated parts of the investigation, like the Burisma issues and those, are being looked at. But this, again, people see it and they're like, they look at Durham and no one really gets in trouble. And they look at this and it's a slap on the wrist. And it does feel like, you know, but if you're on the other side politically, you end up getting raided. We've had people with IRS agents show up at their house. These are the average American stories that Jim Jordan's uncovering, showing up at your door, charging you with every possible crime on the books, and taking it very seriously. So this two-tiered system of justice, it seems like we're feeling it every single day.
Look, I think the headline here is that Merrick Garland is afraid of Joe Biden. Clearly, Joe Biden controls the Department of Justice. You cannot come up with any other reason why there's a slap on the wrist, why it's a sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden after years and years of investigations and allegations and refusals to actually investigate. I think the mounting evidence, photographic evidence, that Hunter Biden was guilty here really forced the hand of the DOJ. They would not be doing this if we didn't have photographic evidence and the hypocrisy being presented in our face every single day. And they also, they live in a bubble in Washington, D.C., and DOJ somehow thinks that by doing this, it's going to help their case against Donald Trump to pretend like it's not a two-tiered system. But when you look at the charges and you look at the lack of investigation on all the Burisma, Ukraine, China deals that the Biden family has had, and then you just do this gun deal with Hunter Biden, you really see that this is a sweetheart deal and there is two-tier justice system. It's very sad.
Go back to this China-Taiwan thing. I mean, this is because people are commenting and I'm reading comments. So we do not support Taiwanese independence, but we're committed to making sure that Taiwan has the ability to defend itself. From what? Because we don't support Taiwan's independence. And I'm not taking a side on that. I'm just saying, you say it's Washington doublespeak, but it really sounds absurd.
Yeah, it does sound absurd. And I do think that we have to be open and honest about what the Chinese, communist Chinese have done to the United States through COVID, through spying, and we need to be much more honest about them as a force against us, as somebody who's trying to bring the United States down. We need to be very clear about that. I think the difficulty, Jay, is that Taiwan is very small and China is very big, and it's in their region. And so the stakes are incredibly high when you think about the implications of our words.
Rick, we appreciate it. Senior Advisor, International Affairs and National Security. Rick, thanks as always for being part of the broadcast. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ. You see the expertise we have, people like Rick and others. We don't have that without your support. ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org to become part of our team. Making sure you're following us as well on all of our social media at Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at Logan Seculo, at ACLJ. And always share the information with your friends. But support our work. It's very important to do that at ACLJ.org.
That's right, folks. And we encourage you again to share this broadcast with your friends and family. So if you're watching the broadcast on Rumble, on Facebook, on YouTube. It will, you know, you can share the whole show if you enjoyed the show today with your friends and family right after we're finished. So click that share button as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow.